Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we're going to look to Daniel chapter 5, if you have your Bibles with you. The title today is, The Handwriting is on the Wall. We know this expression is used in our world. People say the writing is on the wall, and it's a word of doom. It's a word that's an ominous saying, the writing is on the wall for you. The world uses this phrase and don't understand a lot of times where it comes from, but it comes right out of the Word of God from Daniel chapter 5, and we want to look to that today. Daniel chapter 5 is one of the most intriguing chapters of the Bible. The imagery is so great, the handwriting on the wall. Many of us would know this story coming up from our Sunday school years in the Christian Ed department, and we want to look at that today. Daniel chapter 5, and reading from the New King James Bible, Belshazzar the king. Belshazzar was the ruler of Babylon at that time. The Babylonian Empire began 605 BC under Nebuchadnezzar. We're familiar with that name in Scripture. And now this is his grandson, Belshazzar, who is in charge of the kingdom. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Such disregard. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of silver, or gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." So they called for the wise men, and no one could read the writing. The queen mother heard about the disturbance, and she came to Belshazzar. It seems that Daniel, at that time, was in a retired position in the empire. He was approximately 85 years of age. And the queen mother said, "There is one who in the days of your father had light and understanding and was able to understand mysteries and give revelations that no one else could. There's a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and light and wisdom and understanding are in him. His name is Daniel. Let's call him in." So Daniel came, and the king had said, "Whoever can solve this or decipher this handwriting on the wall will be given gifts and honor." Daniel answered and said before the king in verse 17, "Let your gifts be for yourself and your rewards to another." Now Daniel did receive the gifts later, but he did not receive them as a bribe. He wasn't hired, but he was given as a reward. He said, "Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomsoever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up, and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomsoever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar,
But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peraz, which is the singular of Upharsin, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. It's quite the story. And the Lord wants to give us understanding today. And he wants us to know that we can read the handwriting on the wall today as well. Belshazzar and his lords and his ladies were drinking and praising the gods of silver and gold, wood and stone in the earth. They were praising their pagan deities. They were giving allegiance to the gods of this world and the powers of this world. They had desecrated the temple, the vessels of the temple of the Lord. They were drinking in their own measure. They were drinking for their own pleasure. They had no regard for the God of heaven. Belshazzar and his lords were drinking the cup of Babylon, the cup of this world. They found their pleasure in the things of this life. They found their pleasure in the things of this world. Even though Belshazzar had a grandfather who had received a visitation of God and whose heart had been humbled, yet Belshazzar lifted up his heart in pride. He served himself. He would not serve the God of heaven. He would not bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ, as we would say today. He would not bow and humble himself before the Lord. He said, I'm going to drink the vessels of the world. I'm going to drink the vessels of Babylon. I'm going to take my pleasure from the world. I'm going to take in its carnal appetites. I'm going to drink its waters. I'm going to drink its wine. I'm going to disregard my relationship with the God of heaven and my spiritual accountability. Is there anyone here this morning whose name is Belshazzar? Is there a Belshazzar in the house today? I sense the Spirit of the Lord calling. Is there a Belshazzar in the house? Because God wants to turn you before it's too late, until your days are numbered and your end has come and you go into a Christless eternity. Is there a Belshazzar in the house? Somebody who has cast off the faith of your grandfather or your grandmother, cast off the faith of your mother or your father, said, I won't serve the gods, the God of heaven. I'll drink my own wine. I'll make my own way in the world. I'll drink of the pleasures of the world. I'd rather taste the pleasures of this world. I'd rather drink the cup of Babylon. It's fornications, it's sensual pleasures, it's carnal entertainments, it's pride, it's self-serving ways. I'd rather drink that than the pleasures of the house of God. I put those gods above the gods, the God of heaven. Perhaps you're here today and you've forsaken the Lord. You're walking far from the Lord. You've disregarded the God of your father and mother. Today you count the blood of the covenant, the blood of the cross, the only means whereby you can be saved and rescued from sin, else you perish in the fires of destruction, hellfire forever. You've counted that blood as a common thing, and you've disregarded the Holy Spirit who has been calling on your life. Today the Lord wants to call you to his presence. Today the Lord is calling that you would set aside the gods of the world, and you would come into the house of the Lord, and you would honor the vessels of the Lord, and you say, I will drink of the vessels of the house of God. I will drink the wine of the kingdom of God. I'm thirsty, and I'm going to drink the crystal clear living waters of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to drink the Word of God and the life of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here, and like Belshazzar, you have not glorified the God of heaven, in whose hand your very breath is held, and who owns all your ways, He owns all your ways, and none can escape an accountability before the Lord. Sometimes in Scripture we read the phrase, especially among the prophets, they talk about man whose breath is in his nostrils. The weakness of man. His breath is in his nostrils. That's the only breath he has. The only breath we have right now is the air that's in our air passages, and that is held by the hand of God. Belshazzar, your grandfather received a visitation from the Lord, and it changed his life. Nebuchadnezzar stood in the presence of men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, wonderful anointed men of God who spoke the truth and served the God of heaven. But there was a point in Nebuchadnezzar's life where his heart was lifted up with pride. And he was brought down because of his pride. It's written in Daniel chapter 4, and it's spoken of and alluded to in chapter 5 as we've read that chapter. That there was a season where Nebuchadnezzar, because of his pride against the God of heaven, was deposed, and he became like a beast of the field. The Bible says they fed him with grass like an ox, and that his body was wet with the dew of heaven. He lived outdoors. That his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws, until 7 times went over him. 7 periods, whatever the duration of them was. God said 7 times, there's going to be a fullness that goes across this man's life until he knows that the Most High God rules, and he humbles his heart. And after the 7 times, after many days, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar came out of his stupor. And he said these words in Daniel 4:37. He said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, those who walk in their independence, those who walk without surrender to him, he is able to abase." Belshazzar, you've not glorified the God of heaven, in whose hand is your breath, and who owns all your ways. The handwriting came on the wall in that hour. Belshazzar was there, banqueting, feasting, praising his own gods, because they had given him, he supposed, the wealth of Babylon and the kingdom of the world, as he was the ruler and supreme lord over it all, worshiping his own gods, partying with his own people. And all of a sudden, there was handwriting that appeared on the wall over by the candlestick on the plaster. And all of a sudden, everybody's heart stopped and their blood ran cold. Lords and ladies began to shriek out in fear, and Belshazzar's own face filled with terror. The Bible says that the joints of his body were loosened and his knees began to strike one against another. A few moments before, so proud, so self-sufficient, so casual, so self-absorbed, and in a moment he came to nothing. And he called for men, he called for the wise men, he called for astrologers, every magician that he could find in his kingdom, and none could read the writing that was on the wall. And then Daniel was brought in at the advisement of the queen mother, and Daniel walked into that banquet hall, and there was a hush in that hall, and the words were on the wall. Daniel came in, and he was composed, and he was solemn. No self-pity from this old prophet of God. No fleshly sympathy for this man now. No, Daniel stood with the judgments of God. Daniel was united in heart with the one whose hand wrote on the wall and the awful sentence in those words. The words Daniel uttered to that king were the last words that king would ever hear. For that night, Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians, and Belshazzar was slain and put to death and went out into a Christless eternity. The Persian army, Medo-Persian army, had been encamped outside the walls of Babylon for some time now, besieging the city. And what was taking place in Belshazzar's banquet hall that night was a confidence in the gods of Babylon, the gods of this world. In fact, these gods were considered higher than the God of heaven, because these gods of Babylon, as it was supposed, had in the days of Nebuchadnezzar overcome the God of heaven, because Jerusalem had fallen to the Babylonians and the captives had been taken. And here was Belshazzar and his thousand lords, all the lords and ladies, rejoicing and celebrating their gods. They were smug and they were self-confident, because who could bring down the great walls of Babylon? It was an impregnable city. It was considered unable to be breached. The walls were so thick in that ancient Babylonian empire of that city that several chariots could run race abreast on those walls. Historians said that there was enough food stockpiled in that city that it could take care of the inhabitants of that city in a 20-year siege. And here was Belshazzar, so proud, so confident in himself. Little did he know that that night the Persians were completing the diversion of the great river Euphrates that ran underneath the walls of the city of Babylon, dividing it in two. And at the entrance and exit of that great river Euphrates were impassable gates. But the Persians finished the diversion of the river that night, and while Belshazzar was banqueting and while Daniel came in to give the word of the Lord, the Persian army was already stealing into the city in the channel of the riverbed. And that night, 538 BC, Babylon fell. Babylon is fallen. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom. Darius the Mede took the kingdom. What a night it was. What a night it was. The writing on the wall, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 5, the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote on the wall those words, Mene, Tekel, Peraz. That hand was the hand of God. The hand in whose breath every man is held, and in whose are all the ways of a man. That hand is everywhere. The hand of the Lord is everywhere. But here it was made visible. We can't see that hand of the Lord today upon our lives and upon people in a visible way, but the hand of the Lord is over us all. He holds the whole world in his hands. He has charge over every one of us. And the word to Belshazzar was, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and your days are over. It's finished. God gave you a number of days on the earth, but it's cut short because of unrighteousness. Tekel, you are weighed in the balances. The scales of God's justice and judgment, and you are found light. You're found wanting, Belshazzar. There's not much spirit in you. There's not much surrender to God. You are a lightweight in the earth, even though you reign as king. Peraz, the kingdom is divided. Your kingdom is divided, Belshazzar. Your inheritance is scattered. Your inheritance is given away. And that night Belshazzar fell. Three words that are on the pages of the Bible. How many can see the handwriting on the wall today? Daniel was given understanding to interpret the writing on the wall. And so are we, because we have the Spirit of God. And we're able to see beyond the letters. We're able to see what God is trying to communicate to us. Doesn't say what kind of language this was, whether it was some ancient form of Hebrew or Aramaic or some language of the ancient world, but you'd think that some of the astrologers and magicians and wise men who were the brain bank of their culture and society would have been able to at least recognize the letters. But nobody could understand except Daniel by the Spirit of God. These were supernatural words. I think this is an expression or illustration of the gift of tongues in written form in the Old Testament. God put some words in the earth, and Daniel came with the interpretation. Three words, and they apply to us all. And today, God wants to give us understanding that we would see these words on the wall for ourselves. Number one, today, many, numbered. Our days are numbered, the Bible says. Before we look at Psalm 90, I want to remind you of Psalm 139 and verse 16, where the Bible says, when we were wonderfully and marvelously brought to birth, even in conception, in our mother's womb, the Word of God says that His eyes did see our substance, yet being unperfect, not fully formed, and in God's book, all our members were written, or as the marginal says in many translations, all the days of our life were written, the days that were appointed for us, and they were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Even while we were in our mother's womb, God had already numbered some days out ahead of us, that we would live in the fullness and the purpose of God. Moses wrote Psalm 90, and in verse 12, he cried out to the Lord. He said, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. In that same psalm, Moses was speaking of the brevity of life and how quickly time passes and the years go, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for the Spirit and the glory of God in our lives will last into eternity. Everything else falls to the dust. Moses said the years of our life are 70 years, 70 years, and if by reason of strength some attain to 80 years and some beyond into the 80s, some into the 90s, very few people reach 100 years of age. He says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Now, this is a teaching that only the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life. You can teach yourself many things. You can teach yourself arithmetic. You can teach yourself numbers. But one thing not any of us can teach ourselves is to number our days in a godly and holy manner. That's something that only can come as we find ourselves in the presence of God, crying out for His wisdom, crying out for His knowledge to be imparted to our lives. You can grow up in Sunday school. You can listen to Bible stories. You can grow up in church. You can come up through the youth department. You can sit in sermons for years and not have this wisdom in your soul, because it's not something that a man can put into you. It's not something that a teacher can put into you. This is something that you have to gain for yourself. Lord, teach me to number my days. It's a call that each of us find ourselves in the presence of the Lord in such a deep way that something of the life of God and wisdom and understanding of God takes hold of us, where we can break the distractions of the world and the power of the flesh and give ourselves to godly living and give ourselves to profitable means for the kingdom of God, that everything we do every day has the Spirit of God in it to serve the Lord with all our heart and to gain inheritance for eternity. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days, that our days are valuable. Ephesians 5:16 says that we must learn to redeem the time, buy the time, purchase the time. There's a cost. Buy the time. Don't waste your time. Buy your time so you can live in a godly way and gain for eternity and gain for the kingdom of God. Teach us to number our days. It may be that there are some here this morning that need to fall in the presence of God in a fresh way and say, Lord, teach me to number my days. I have not been numbering my days. I've not been counting them after a godly manner to serve you with all my heart. I've let my emotions get away on me. I've let the distractions of life, I've let the entertainments of life carry me and gather me. But Lord, today I'm going to give myself to your presence again. Teach me to number my days, that from the moment I get up, your praises are found in me, and domestic duties and occupational duties, that I will serve the Lord Christ with all my heart. Teach us to number our days, numbered. Numbered, it's a word for every one of us, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The second word, tekel, weighed. Weighed, numbered, and weighed. 1 Samuel 2:3 says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Numbered and weighed. The Lord is weighing us in his scales, his balance. The Bible says we are to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. We're to walk of the same weight as the gospel of Christ, the precious truths that we find in the Word of God, that our life would come up to standard and up to weight. The Lord is weighing all our actions, isn't he? He's weighing our words and our thoughts and our deeds, weighing them to see how they measure up to his standard and his will for our lives. By him, actions are weighed. We must be those who add spiritual weight to our lives. Add some spiritual weight, significance, influence, impact. People of strength in the house of God, people of strength in spirit, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, full of the purpose of God. It's possible that we can be light in worship, light in prayer, light in kingdom finances, light in church attendance, gospel light. But the Lord wants the scales to balance. He wants to bring some strength into us so that there's some weight to our life, there's some influence. The presence of God upon our lives. You know, one of the words for the presence of God or the glory of God is the word kabod. It means something weighty. Speaks of God's presence. His felt presence is weighty. It makes an impression, doesn't it? It changes us. When the presence of God comes down in the corporate gathering as we're worshiping the Lord, it changes us. It changes our walk. We walk different. We make different impressions in the earth. Men and women of spiritual weight. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, the light affliction that we're enduring in this life, the testing, the trial, the temptation, the disturbances, all the struggles that we're facing, he said they are working for us a far more eternal weight of glory. If we handle this world properly, we take the buffeting, we take the spiritual warfare, we take the testing and trial every day and move our hearts to respond in a godly way and walk in the power of God and quote the Word of God and live in the Spirit rather than in the flesh, what happens? We're putting on spiritual weight. Those things are working us in us a far more exceeding weight of glory. We become men and women of weight, of power, of strength. Hallelujah. Numbered and weighed. Let's bring up our weight today in the Spirit. Peter the Apostle said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Bend all your energies to this. Add to your faith. He said, add to your faith excellence and to excellence knowledge, and add self-control, and add godliness, and add worship to your life, and add brotherly love, and add agape to your life, divine love. He said, add to your life. Add to your life. And so we understand as we read the interpretation, the handwriting is on the wall today, and I can read it. My days are numbered. I've only got a certain amount of years, and Lord, help me to incline my heart to wisdom that I can serve you with all profit and make my life count for time and eternity, for the kingdom of God. I can read the word tekel, weighed, that the Lord is weighing my actions and weighing my motives and weighing my work ethic. And weighing my excellence in the duties that he's committed to me. And how many here this morning want to be found not wanting, but you're going to be found of substance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Teach us the wisdom of the Lord. And then finally, the word peraz, or divided. Divided. That was the word to Belshazzar. Numbered, weighed, and divided. Now, I don't want to be divided, and neither do you. There's a man living for himself, living after the pleasure of the world, serving his own agendas, his own life, and the word to him was numbered, weighed, and divided. But God has a different design for us, and it's not that we would be divided, but that we would be strengthened, and we would be increased, and we would have a fulfillment in our life. Psalm 1:4-5 says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Belshazzar, you're a lightweight. No spirit, no substance. You're divided. Like chaff thrown up into the winds of God's judgment, you're blown away. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The ungodly will not stand in the day of judgment. That final day of judgment is what it's pointing to. "Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." There is reward and there is blessing. Now, what is the opposite of being divided? It's being united. Not scattered. United, fortified, increased, built together, strengthened. That's the desire of the Lord, that we number our days, that we weigh our lives so that we have spiritual impact and strength, and that the result of our life is that there is unity, that there is strength, there's increase for the kingdom. There's blessing for the people of the earth because our lives have been joined in the purpose of God. So many are scattered and divided today. I heard a prophetic word this morning, and so did you. How powerful. That today is a day that God wants to change the course of your life. That in the past you've been driven by the winds and the seas, wherever the wind blows, whatever your emotions dictate, whatever new thing comes across your life, you're influenced, you're blown. God wants to put a new direction in us today that is a kingdom direction and change our lives for his good and for his profit. God wants us not to be divided and scattered. God wants us to be united with him, united with the kingdom, and fulfilled in the kingdom, and that we finish the work that God has called us to do. That we have such a sense of his purpose in us that we will know when our life's work is accomplished and we've done the will of God for our lives. That's how it was with John the Baptist. The Bible said he came and he fulfilled his course. He fulfilled the lane he was to run in, and he crossed the finish line, a champion into the everlasting kingdom. Jesus Christ came in John 17. He said, "Father, I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. It's all done. You can receive me home." The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24, he said, "Nothing moves me. None of these things move me. All the influences, all the buffeting, all the struggles of life, nothing moves me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the grace of the gospel of God." At the end of his days in 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul was already resting at the finish line. He'd crossed the line. He wasn't in heaven yet, but he knew his life's work was over. He said, "I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I've done the will of God." How beautiful. The Lord wants to lead us with a sense of that kind of fulfillment, numbered, weighed, fulfilled, united with the purpose of God. How beautiful to serve the Lord with all our heart. There's nothing greater. To serve the Lord with all your energies, time, finances, spirit, in whatever we do, we serve the Lord Christ. What a wonderful opportunity to walk with God, fulfilled in the presence of the Lord, that we would be kingdom builders, people of strength, that we would build local churches, that we'd be loyal people, build into the house of God, build in with brothers and sisters so the kingdom can advance and the kingdom can be strong, so local churches can be strong under the power of God's word and because of the strength of the people of the Lord. Hallelujah. Numbered, weighed, and fulfilled. Hallelujah. Fulfilled, united, strong. This morning, as we close out, I pray it would be on all of our hearts to say, Lord, teach me to number my days. Give me understanding, Lord. Teach me to number my days, that there would be a fresh word of the Lord on your life. You know, the Bible says very clearly that we are going to be rewarded in the eternal day, that every one of us will give account for himself at the day of judgment. Every person will give account. We'll all stand before the Lord. The righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous will be rewarded according to their deeds from the point of their conversion. The minute you get saved, there's a fresh direction on your life and all your labors for the kingdom, for the Lord. The Bible says they are adding up to a reward. The unrighteous too will be rewarded in a negative way. They'll be punished according to their works. Revelation 20 talks about the punishment of the unrighteous and the Revelation 22 about the reward of the righteous. Concerning the unrighteous, those who do not serve the Lord. Revelation 20 verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, the unrighteous, the ungodly will be judged according to their works. And the degree of punishment according to their works will be meted out. Punished according to their deeds, the degree of punishment. It says the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, or Hades, the place of the unrighteous dead, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, punished according to their works, different degrees. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, there's a Lamb's book of life. And when you get saved, the angels of heaven dip their quill into the blood of the cross and they write your name in that eternal book. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 22 and verse 12, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. We understand that the righteous will be rewarded, that from the point of our conversion, we can add to our life, we can add to substance to us, we can add to eternal quality. The handwriting is on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall today for every one of us. Numbered, weighed, and let it not be said we're divided and scattered as chaff to the wind, but we go on into heaven with silver and gold and precious stones, works that endure because we've labored for the Lord and served the Lord with all our heart. We're under the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord, our very breath is held in his hand. The only breath we have is at the moment. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Today may be a day of change for you. There are some things the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about, and maybe some of the attitudes and words of your mouth and direction and waywardness of your heart, the Holy Spirit wants to correct you and bring you back to the purposes of God in a powerful and holy way, that you become a kingdom builder, that you would be a rock solid living stone in the house of God. Serve the people of God and the Lord with all your heart. Maybe there's a Belshazzar in the house today. Let's stand before the Lord. Is there a Belshazzar in the house? Someone here that you've walked your own way, you've disregarded the spiritual standard of your father and your mother, your grandfather. You're drinking from the vessels of this world, taking in the pleasures of the world, carnal as they are, and you've not glorified the God of heaven in whose hand your breath is this morning. Is there anyone here this morning that say, that's me, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Anyone here today? Thank you. Anyone else? Say, I need to follow the Lord. The altars are open this morning. You need to respond to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord today. Please slip out from where you are. The Spirit of God is calling. Before it's too late, before your hour comes where you go into eternity without the Lord. Our only salvation is the blood. Our only hope is Jesus Christ, his salvation, his ministry, his life on our behalf. The altars are open for any needs, others that need to come and say, I will serve the Lord. I'm giving myself to Jesus Christ today. I don't want to be numbered and weighed and be found a lightweight. I don't want to be blown away as chaff. I don't want to be scattered and divided across the ruins of eternity. I want to serve God and live in the kingdom of God forever. If that's you, don't let this day, don't let this moment go by. Say, I will come. I will humble myself. I will come and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come and serve the Lord today. Let's lift up our hearts in worship and prayer today. And a number of individuals that have come to the altar this morning, let's lift them up for a true salvation experience, that they would lose their life in Jesus Christ today and become a true disciple of our Lord and Savior. And let's all of us ask the Lord today, Lord, teach me to number my days. Put some wisdom in me on how to walk out this week and the years of my life to come. Amen.